Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Lineup podcast. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined once again by Richard Justice, and we are covering the 2017 World Series, where the Astros have now taken a 2-1 advantage in this best of seven with their 5-3 victory at Minute Maid Park on Friday night. Here are the highlights from Game 3.
And that's ripped deep to left field, and you can kiss that one goodbye. Into the Landry's Crawford boxes. Yuli Gurriel with his first postseason home run, and it's 1-0 Astros. And McCann lines it in the right center for a base hit. Gaddis chugging around third and coming home. He will score well ahead of the throw. Into third base goes Gonzalez. An RBI for Brian McCann. His first hit in the World Series. 3-0 Astros.
We feed off this crowd, and they've been showing up since day one. They're loud. We can beat you top to bottom.
Another 2-2. And Grandal hits it high in the air to right. Reddick over toward the line, waiting for it to come down. Reddick makes the catch, and that is the ball game.
Well, Richard, for me, the real star of Game 3 is Brad Peacock, who comes out of the bullpen and covers the final 11 outs for the Astros. A big performance from the right-hander, and we're going to bring our own right-hander onto the scene here, Jeff Nelson. Jeff, what did you think of Brad Peacock tonight?
Incredible. I guess the Astros, you do whatever you got to do to get a win, just like Game 7 against the Yankees when they used two starters. They used two starters again to get through the game. You know, Peacock has a good angle. He throws three quarters. He's got good sink on the ball, and he also upshoots that fastball. He throws about 95 miles an hour. He really mixed it up well. And you don't see guys that throw from different parts of the rubber. He'll move. It depends on a right-handed hitter or a left-handed hitter. Left-handed hitters, he's pretty dominant against them. He's got a really good slider, and then he hits that third base side of the plate really well. Now, the righties, he just stays away a lot. I mean, he has a really good slider, and it's a late break. And you always have to be aware of that fastball that comes back over the outside part of the plate of the righties. If he finds the inside part of the plate to lefties, this guy's going to be dominant. He's already dominant in an incredible outing in Game 3 to help them win and go up 2-1. This guy has great stuff.
Nelly, this was a guy that made the team out of spring training because he was out of options. He thought he was not going to make the team. A year and a half ago, a kid named Jordan Jankowski taught him a slider, remade his career. What do you think is going through a guy's mind like this, that he gets a 4 2/3 inning save in the World Series after a bumpy career start?
Well, I mean, you can see when he came in with second and third, he allowed the one run, and then he threw the wild pitch right underneath McCann. You know, probably things are going through his head. They all know our bullpen hasn't gone so well because I got to try to pick it up. But then he started finding himself and finding the strike zone and getting that nasty slider. And he uses fastball a lot more than I saw, you know, during his starts during the season. He really had a really good year as a starter. I actually thought maybe he had a chance to be the number four starter once the ALCS happened, when they needed four guys. And even in the World Series, he was that dominant. I said, okay, you had McCullers, who was banged up. You had Morton, who doesn't really give you a whole lot of length in the rotation. Maybe Peacock's going to be that guy. But again, now he comes out of the bullpen, and he was dominant. He's got great sink. And you know what? Sometimes it takes just some player to say, hey, this is how I hold my slider. Everybody has different release points, and you can't duplicate another pitch, or everybody would be the same. And he found it, and he's done an outstanding job.
Yeah, you know, to Nelly's point, there was a point in September where I think Hinch was even leaning towards Peacock in the rotation for the postseason. Certainly seemed that way, and it was statistically justifiable. Richard, you've been around this team all year. Peacock's meant so much to the staff in either role, really.
Yeah, and Peacock and Mike Fiers, both, when they had four starters on the disabled list, they saved them. They saved the team. And Peacock was great out of the bullpen, and he was great in this role. I mean, it's one of those stories. I think that's one of the reasons we love sports. He's such an unassuming guy that found something, and, you know, his confidence. You could just see tonight out there his confidence grew and grew.
Yeah, the emotions that he saw. I really like the emotions on the mound, and you can see when guys are getting fired up. And then they become even more unhittable because then they just lock in. It's like tunnel vision. It's like the horses with the blinders on. All they see is a certain spot on that plate that's where I'm going to throw it. And it was just electric. And you could see as he kept going on, he was getting stronger and stronger, and the confidence kept building and building.
The negative story from Game 3 was Yu Darvish. Richard, I don't know what else to say except what the heck happened there?
Yeah, he just didn't have his good stuff. You know, and he normally on his slider gets late break. So, one scout texted me and said, it's breaking over the grass. In other words, they could just see it coming out of his hand. It was just a bad night to have a bad night. You know, and this thing about, okay, the Dodgers starters were 17th in innings this year. The formula was, we're going to get five out of our starters, and then we're going to let this great bullpen finish it out. well, okay, you lose game two, and then in game three where you needed something, right. five, six, and then you can set it up for Maeda and Morrow and Jansen, and when you don't get that, suddenly now you're looking at your bullpen and going, whoa, now we've still got to win three games here. Now they do have Kershaw going in game five, yeah. so that I mean, there's going to be pressure on him, but there's a lot of pressure on Alex Wood tomorrow. Darvish just – it was, you know, you got to do it, and that he was not able to do it.
Yeah, it was hard to watch, quite frankly. I mean, four runs on six hits in 1 2/3 inning, also a walk. He only got one swing and miss, Richard. I mean, yeah. That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, some of those outs were smoked.
Right.
And, you know, like, I know everybody's thinking, you got to get him out of there. And what Dave is thinking is, I can't bring the cavalry in. This
right,
is all
yeah.
I got.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, he was getting smoked. I mean, it was six batted balls with an exit velocity of 100 miles an hour or more. That ties his
highest. You're saying he wasn't tricking them.
He was not tricking them. Yeah, I mean, was there a point where you thought, you got to get this guy out of here? You know, no pun intended with a U there. But,
You know, since he went to the Dodgers, they've focused on his hard stuff.
Yeah.
The slider, the fastball. He's throwing a lot less of those splitters and those curves. And I've always thought he was a guy that if you get to him early – it seems like his confidence gets rattled or something. I don't think that was the case tonight. I think he just didn't have his stuff. He fought the good fight. It wasn't there.
Yeah, that's actually been the case in his career. I mean, I know tonight he got lit up in the second inning, but traditionally in his career, it's the first inning that's really been his bugaboo. So for whatever reason, getting settled into games. But, yeah, tonight there was no getting settled with the way that stuff was going. I thought when Marwin Gonzalez smoked that, it turned out to be a single, but off of the wall in left field, I was like, man, I mean, how is this guy staying this game? But yeah. They kept him in there, of course. Brian McCann then followed with a single, then a hard line out from George Springer, and then a sac fly from Alex Bregman, and then the Altuve double was the straw that broke the camel's back there.
So Alex Wood is their fourth starter. You know, what's the number? Once since September 25th, or he hasn't pitched since September 25th, and now you really need length out of your number four guy to help you. Because, you know, Kershaw probably is not going to go nine. So we're setting up tomorrow, if they have a lead, they're going to have to go to Kenley Jansen for Morrow for three, Jansen for six, and see if that's good enough.
Well, clearly, you, Darvish, did not have it in game three. Here's what Dave Roberts had to say about that.
With you, there was one swing and miss, when he was out there. The fastball command wasn't there, and the slider was backing up. So he just really didn't have the feeling, couldn't get any type of rhythm going. So right there, you find yourself after five outs down 4-0. You know, you have to go right there. I had to go to the pen to give us a chance to stay in that game. They were taking good swings, obviously taking good at-bats against them. But I think that it just goes to the fastball command and the breaking ball just wasn't there tonight.
Well, Darvish's struggles in game three were particularly surprising given his past success in this building in Minute Maid Park. But there's no touching the Astros right now in Minute Maid Park, Richard. They are 7-0, the first team since and only the second team ever joining the 2008 Phillies to win their first seven games in the postseason at home. We know how things turned out for the 2008 Phillies. Obviously, if the Astros finish things off at home, they will be the world champs. What can you say about the way they've played in this building?
Yeah, they feed off the crowd here. You know, Dallas Keuchel, one of the things he told the young guys before the postseason was when the roof is closed and it's full, it sounds like 96,000 people here, and you're going to feel that energy. But, you know, everything they needed, they've gotten here. Verlander has been great here. Keuchel was great here. And, you know, what happened in Dodger Stadium was in the eighth inning, George Springer got going, and he makes everything go. And they just have a very deep lineup. There's no – I mean, they put pressure on a pitcher all the way through. If Altuve doesn't do it, it's Gurriel. It's right down the line. They're a really good team. You know, the only question would be, how do they get these – how do they cover up what looks to be a bullpen that's got some problems?
Right.
And so far he's covered it up by just handing it to a starter and getting out of the way.
Do whatever it takes. But, yeah, I mean – to your point, I mean, it starts with George Springer in the leadoff spot, and they've just been ambushing opposing starters. Opposing starters in this postseason in this building, 0-6 with a 7.64 ERA.
Yeah.
Pretty striking.
Yeah, and you know, they, as you noticed, they're not timid. They don't.
Yeah.
They go up there, and if they don't, you know, they see a pitch, they swing. They're not a real patient team. They don't strike out a lot, and they hit the ball over the fence. Pretty good formula.
These things kind of become entities unto themselves. You get on a roll, and it even gets in the opponent's head after a certain point.
You know, it's so amazing is that they looked terrible, those three games in New York.
Yeah.
And I understand some of it was Tanaka was great. Sonny Gray pitched great. But they came back here. He gave the team a day off, don't come around. don't come around here no more. Tom Petty.
R.I.P.
And shows up Saturday, you know, shows up Friday, and Verlander takes control of the game. And then McCullers and Morton pitch the games of their lives the next day to win the pennant.
Yeah, well, that, if you thought that was loud, just think how loud it would be if they finished things off in games 4 and 5, but obviously a lot of work to do. But, yeah, the Astros are outscoring their opponents 36-10 in this postseason, absolutely dominant.
Yeah, at one point during the season, A.J. Hinch said, you know, our lineup is so deep, I think I could just turn it upside down and we get the same production. Because when you look, you've got Marwin Gonzalez, 20 homers, 90 RBIs, hitting eighth. You've got Gurriel down there, McCann, who's for portions of his career has been an offensive force type, impact type player. And those guys are filling out the bottom of the lineup card.
Well, it's okay to be confident with the way you're playing at home, but if they do submit a flipped over lineup, that's just cocky. That's just going too far.
You know, yeah. That'd be great if he came out with it turned upside down. Turn it back the other way. That's the way I meant it.
Obviously, the Dodgers did not get much length from Yu Darvish in Game 3, and that leads to a lot of questions about what the bullpen composition is going to be in Game 4 with another, you know, two games before an off day. Let's bring back our friend Jeff Nelson to talk about that. Dave Roberts did what he had to do. Yu Darvish just did not have it in Game 3, and it really, the bullpen did a great job keeping the Dodgers in that game, but it compromises them moving forward.
Yeah, Darvish really hamstrung the rest of the bullpen down there. You know, you talk about Game 3, you're hoping your starters go a little bit more because you had two more games, and you only use those guys down there a certain length of time. Luckily, the only guy you got length out of was Maeda. He threw 2 2/3. It's a shame because he's gotten some key outs down there. So they're probably going to stay away from him in Game 4. You had Cingrani and Morrow both 2/3, so they're healthy. They're going to come back. Also, Watson's perfect. If Wood winds up getting knocked out early, and if you watch this guy, he's pitched one time since September 26th, and that was in the NLCS, and that was only 4 2/3. He gave up 3 runs, got the loss. So you're expecting, okay, hey, even though you had a great season, you got to give me 5 or 6 because I don't know who else I'm going to go to short term. Is it Stripling? Do you go to McCarthy? I mean, this guy was even off the NLCS roster. So, you know, a lot depends on the starters, and even more so in Game 4 for the Dodgers.
Richard, I was sitting next to our colleague Joe Posnanski during this game, and it was 4-0 in the second inning. They got to go to the bullpen. He says, what would you do here? I'm thinking maybe throw Brandon McCarthy to the Wolves and let him eat some innings. But obviously, you know, Roberts managed this game aggressively, and it was justifiably so. It turned out to be a 5-3 ball game.
Yeah, and after the game, he was asked, I mean, the second guess was, you stayed with Darvish too long. And he's saying, what you said, Nelly, he said, hey, we got to win. We got 3 more games here in a row. I mean, I got to get some length out of someone because I don't have enough guys if I'm not only going to get an inning or 2 or 3 out of my starters.
Yeah, and then sometimes these guys find themselves. And sometimes all of a sudden, you know, you saw Darvish's elbow was dropping. Everything was flat. He wasn't getting on top of the ball. Sometimes all of a sudden after the first inning where he got through that jam, okay, maybe he'll start finding it. And maybe he can give me 5 or 6 and only give up the 4 runs. We've seen that before. You know, you almost want to think, okay, yes, you throw McCarthy in and you kind of give up Game 3, but the way the Astros bullpen has been, they're never out of the game. And 5-3, you're still never out of the game, and it took a starter to pitch the last 3 2/3 for the Astros to close them out. So I think Roberts did a good job. He also did a nice job of limiting the guys that came in out of that bullpen, so he's going to be able to use them in 4 and 5. Maeda is probably done.
Yeah, Maeda, Robert said, will not be available in Game 4. But the other factor for me is Brandon Morrow, who's been such an important setup man for the Dodgers. And he's pitched now 3 times in the last 4 days. He has not pitched 4 times in 5 days at any point in this 2017 season. So, you know, they might have to, even if they have to go to Morrow, it might not be the Brandon Morrow we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, you know, that is funny because sometimes you just say hang with him. And you got to go out there and, hey, you want a world championship ring? You got to do whatever you need to do. I think he's capable. He's got really good stuff. He's got an electric fastball. He's throwing about 98 tonight. So, and also nasty slider. So I think he's going to be able to do it. I think Robertson will try to limit him to three outs and not get any more out of him. And then it'll be interesting to see what they do with Jansen. Will they go with him 6? Will they try to limit him to 3?
It sounds like tomorrow's going to be a 6-out save they get in that situation.
Well, it's almost you have to, because then all of a sudden if you don't, you're down 3-1. And I think with the confidence that the Astros have, especially in their lineup, they're going to beat Kershaw.
Right, and Alex Wood needs to get a good night's sleep and come prepared. Have a good breakfast and come prepared to do something his teammates haven't.
Exactly.
Well, this will be Wood's second appearance since September 26th, so
he's rested.
He's certainly well rested. He might have the rest versus rust equation here, but he'll certainly be well rested. And the Dodgers definitely need length out of him because, you know, as much as this has been a part of their plan all this postseason, these quick hooks and then go to the deep pen, boy, they've gone that well quite a bit already in this World Series.
Yeah, it's tough. It's almost like you seem to think, you look at Dave Robertson, you're like, has he overmanaged in some sense? You know, you look at game two. Why did he take out Hill so early? 60 pitches. He wasn't struggling. He struck out seven, gave up the one run. It wound up costing you at the end because you tried to get six outs from Jansen, and then you went to two guys that you wanted to stay away from. You wound up losing the game. Then all of a sudden your starter in game four didn't, or game three didn't give you enough, and Darvish gave you an inning and two-thirds, and that's it. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you have to go to that bullpen. Luckily, he did limit some of these guys. So, you know, as much as you like to go to the bullpen, sometimes you really have to try to trust your starters just a little bit. I know Darvish in game three, you had to get him out of there. It'll be interesting to see Wood tomorrow in game four. Will they allow him to pitch a little bit longer than what they normally have? I mean, this guy would average just under six innings throughout the regular season. So I think you almost have to trust him unless he's really getting hammered. And let him get him out of some jams. Let him see if he can give you six innings.
Well, Richard, marring the Astros' big win in Game 3 was Yuli Gurriel's offensive gesture in the dugout after going deep off Yu Darvish in the second inning. And, you know, this guy had a huge night at the plate in the field, had the home run, had a double, started a key double play. But, you know, all anybody's going to talk about this, and rightfully so, is this an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, as you said, he did own it. He stood in front of his locker, answered questions. He did apologize to it. You know, the one thing you find out in the postseason, the great thing is the world is watching. They're watching your greatness, but when you screw up, they're watching that too. And hopefully you learn from it. This has been a storybook ride of a season, this team, these players, this city. Don't do anything to screw it up now. You're two wins away from doing something that's never been done in this city before. Let's ride it out. And, you know, there is a way you win. And you don't win by making offensive gestures.
I mean, the one thing to his credit, he did own it. He didn't try to deny it or, you know,
that was a good
fabricate
thing.
Something.
And the manager didn't come in and say, I don't know about it. He just said, I know I found out about it, and he's going to be issuing a statement. He's remorseful for it. And he stood up in front of his locker and spoke to the media tonight. Darvish said he was aware of it. You know, hey, you know, you should know better. You're a grown man.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gurriel played in Japan, so particularly in those circumstances. But Darvish said, quote, he made a mistake. He'll learn from it. We're all human beings. You know, we'll see what the commissioner's office decides how to handle this matter moving forward after speaking with Yuli Gurriel before game four. But, you know, to get back to the game itself, Richard, Gurriel was part of a really key moment, starting a double play in the third inning. When the Astros
really bailed them out of a big spot after Lance McCullers had walked the bases loaded.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a, you know, his instincts are off the his instincts on the field are off the charts good. And he has done things offensively this year that you marvel at. He turned on a Aroldis Chapman 103 on a Saturday night here to win a game, you know, one of those come from behind wins. He's been a big part of this. They love the guy. He and Bregman sort of debuted at around the same time, and he was the guy. They had to check to see if he was still awake. Bregman is an excitable young kid, and they added so much to the club. Don't spoil it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was the one moment in the game where, you know, the Astros were really on the ropes.
They were on the ropes.
McCullers just could not find the strike zone all of a sudden. But then Seager hits in that 3-6-1 double play. And great job McCullers on that play, you know,
to get over and cover
first base.
And, you know, great job by McCullers to gut through it because he didn't – you could tell he was feeling for it tonight. He didn't really like any of his stuff. And they had a reliever up in the third inning. To get five and a third out of him, I think, considering what he had and what they saw – that's a little bit of moral victory inside the victory.
Yeah, and then McCullers got Justin Turner to ground out to end the inning. That's no small task.
No.
Getting Justin Turner out in a big moment, and that preserved the 4-1 lead. And, of course, the Astros go on to the 5-3 victory. So that's the story from Game 3 at Minute Maid Park. We'll be back on Saturday for Game 4 at 8 o'clock Eastern. This has been the Morning Lineup Podcast. My thanks to Richard Justice and to Jeff Nelson for joining us, and thanks for tuning in.